This is the Business of College Sports podcast with your host, the founder of businessofcollegesports.com, Christy Dosh. Find her on Twitter and Instagram at Sports Biz Myths.
Welcome to the Business of College Sports podcast. I'm your host, Christy Dosh, the Sports Biz Miss. And today I am back to chat once again about NIL. If you follow me at all, you know that I have basically dedicated my career to NIL, at least for the time being. I have covered it from every angle I can think of. And I was recently having a conversation for a story I was working on about car deals. You know, we all kind of talked even before NIL about this idea that student athletes would work with the local car dealership and that you would see, you know, elite student athletes driving these free cars around for these deals that they've brokered with local car dealerships. So I was writing a piece about that, and I'll stick that down in the show notes. I've got a tracker where I'm tracking all the car deals. But there was one deal, and really it's not one deal, it's six deals that caught my eye up at Ohio State, because we saw six football student athletes all sign with the same car dealership. And I had to call and talk to the guy who put that deal together and understand, how did that come to be? How did they put together a deal where a dealership agreed to give away not one, not two, but six cars to football student athletes? And in having my call with our guest today, Zach Beebe, I learned about all sorts of things going on up in Columbus, and he has a hand in so many of them. So I wanted him to join us and talk a little bit about NIL in Columbus. What does that look like? What does being an Ohio State student athlete look like right now? And what kind of deals are happening there on the local level? I think it's super interesting to kind of look at this snapshot of NIL in Columbus. And I'm so glad Zach agreed to join the podcast. Zach is a manager. He has spent a lot of years in the music and entertainment business, I think more than 12 years. He is an entrepreneur at heart. He's done everything from real estate to owning barber shops and everything in between. He's the current manager for Carter Winter, the very first country artist to sign a partnership with Jay-Z's Roc Nation. You know, you'll hear in this interview what a well-connected guy he is, but how genuine it is and how much he values relationships and how he's leveraging those relationships on behalf of the student athletes that he's working with in Columbus. So this isn't just about the six student athlete car deal. We talked about lots of other things, but we also got into the car deal and how that happened. I hope you enjoy listening in on my conversation with Zach as much as I enjoyed having the conversation. So without further ado, I give you my interview with Zach Beebe. Welcome to the Business of College Sports podcast, Zach. So glad to have you. Thanks for spending a little time with us.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to be here. Excited to talk with you.
So you and I spoke because I was working on a piece that's now out. I'll link it down in the show notes, that was about all the car deals that we've seen so far. And I wanted to talk to you because you had been part of a deal with a dealership that involved six Ohio State student athletes. That was the only one I had seen that had been such a big group deal. And then when you and I were chatting on the phone about that, you told me so many interesting things about what you're doing that I said, hey, wait, will you come on the podcast and talk about this? So,
of course.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your background, first of all, and sort of how you got involved in this space, and then we'll dive a little deeper on what you've been doing there in Columbus.
Sure, yeah. So I'm from Columbus, Ohio, originally, and then I went to University of Toledo for college. And then, you know, while I was there, I started my own, you know, first venture, I suppose, as a young entrepreneur. And that led me into the music industry. So I was being able to work with a lot of now big high profile artists. And I've always had kind of a passion for management and facilitating and, you know, and doing things for others while like connecting dots, right? And I'm a true believer in everyone's a brand. It's just, you know, figuring out what that brand looks like. So when I was going back and forth from University of Toledo to Ohio State, I became very close with like a lot of the athletes over the years. And then when I transitioned back to Columbus, You know, my house was, you know, near campus, and it was just kind of a safe space for a lot of these athletes to come watch Monday Night Football. And we were always grilling and stuff like that, and really creating a true bond and relationship that was more than, oh, cool, you're an OSU football player, basketball player, et cetera. So when this opportunity arose, I, at this point, had a country artist who I'd signed by Jay-Z's Roc Nation, and I was in this full swing of management, and my partner Brandon Fish-Cheatham, I, you know, met with him. He's worked with, you know, the likes of Logan Paul, Travis Kelce. He's built some of the biggest brands for these celebrities, that we were like, look, man, you know, we already have these great relationships. This is what we love to do. How can we open up our door a little wider to bring these guys in? And then during COVID, obviously, there was a lot of downtime. So we, I was sitting there, and it's like, boom, NIL management. Like, it's called the NIL bill. Like, I got to go, got to buy this domain. So then, you know, got the domain. And then it was just really everything from there is kind of second nature to what we already do, I suppose. But yeah, it was crazy. And it was put in like hyperspeed, right? July 1st hit, and it was like, okay, go. But we had a little jump on it, if you will.
So I know just from kind of reading around online and some of the conversation we had last week that beyond the car deal, which we'll talk about, you know, it sounds like you've been doing a lot of other things with Ohio State student athletes as well. What are some of the things that when you first started talking to these student athletes, what were the ways they wanted to get involved in NIL from the jump? Because I've had a lot of conversations with compliance folks about where they thought people would go and which types of opportunities they would be drawn to. But what have you been hearing from the student athletes you've been working with so far?
Yeah, well, you know, to be totally honest, like I think, you know, we spoke about this. First and foremost, they have to be eligible. They have to be compliant. So anything we do, we've been working with OSU's awesome team, their legal team, trademarking team, just to make sure before we even spoke about partnerships or deals that we had our ducks in a row, right? We're OAC compliant and all the little things that you have to be. But what was weird is when we were bringing in these athletes, a lot of them really didn't know, right? It's the first thing. And for so many years, they were told, no, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. They were kind of like shy to jump in the space. So we really got to coach them up. And the first thing we tell all the guys, and or girls, we're going to be announcing some females too, which I'm excited about. But if you want deals, we're the wrong company for you. We're here to forge partnerships that'll take you from your collegiate career onto, if you get to be able to take that next step, onto the next step. So we call them partnerships with a purpose. So yeah, when we speak to them, we talk about funnels. We wanted a great auto dealer, you know, a great food sponsor. And then if they're interested in stuff, like some of our guys are fashion majors. So, you know, we really dig into building the brand, their logos, you know, more than just merch. But yeah, it was just kind of interesting because with it being so new, it let us kind of coach the guys up because we've already brought in a ton of sponsorship deals for other big celebrities. So just making them understand, like, you have to be authentic to yourself and also to your consumer and as a partner, because people see through kind of inorganic stuff. If you're a vegetarian, don't do a deal with Outback Steakhouse because people are going to see through that, right? But we'll go get you a great vegan option. So yeah, if that kind of helps.
And obviously, you know, I'm not implying that you're only looking to do deals in Columbus, but I'm sort of curious because you are there in that market and you are focusing on a lot of these Ohio State student athletes. What kind of education or conversations have to happen with the local businesses and brands to get them interested in being involved in this and working directly with student athletes?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. And it's something I don't even want to say what we've been had to battle, because a lot of these big deals that we're bringing to the table or partnerships, myself or my partners, we've been in business with these folks for many years. I own OTR Management. It's a management company that I do social acquisition, et cetera, for. So they already know that if we're going to align to do something, I have their best interests already in mind. But when it comes to the guys, like, let's be honest, like, these are big companies, these bigger national deals we're about to announce. You're taking a risk. You're doing a deal with a 19, a 20-year-old kid. It's scary, you know, and that's where we've been able to win is because we are the buffer, right? So when we talk to these big agencies out of the UK and who run, you know, the Hisense or the Lovesac, they feel comfortable and like, wow, we're not only doing a partnership with a great, you know, athlete, but we're making sure the deliverables are created, right? We're making sure if you're saying, hey, we need them to post at 9:30 because that's our high traffic time, by 8:30, we've already got the post created. We're already logged in to some of their accounts and we're making sure it's done right. So we take a different approach that it's like, you're doing a deal with the NIL management for, you know, whoever that athlete, that said athlete is. And it helps protect not only the athlete, but protect, you know, the business that's doing the deal, right? Or the partnership.
Okay. So let's talk about the deal that got me in touch with you to begin with. This deal with Coughlin Chevrolet. We've got six student athletes. How do you broker a deal with a car dealership to work with six different student athletes and give cars to six student athletes?
Yeah. To be honest, like I said, like I believe, and I always tell this to everyone, look, my bank account's full of relationships and experiences. Okay. Money should never be the motivator. Right. So with CoughlinCars.com, we actually did it with CoughlinCars.com, but we were at their Chevy dealership. We've had a longstanding relationship, with that family. They're an amazing, family and local, you know, business. So when I approached, Christina Coughlin and Al Coughlin, it was like, look, we have this amazing opportunity, but if we're going to do this, how are we going to do it the right way? And of course it didn't start out with, hey, I need money and I need six cars. It was like, hey, these are the awesome athletes who we think are going to pair well with you. What does that look like? So we created what's called the Coughlin Drive Series. So it's about on the field, in the classroom, and in the community. So with that being said, just because these guys are getting the cars or getting the cash, let's have purpose. Let's be philanthropic about this. So we're putting together toy drives where Haskell Garrett's going to be dressed up as Santa Claus, right? He just had a huge game, you know, his first game, and he's the number one defensive tackle, you know, all that kind of stuff. But so let's do fun things like that. Let's do trunk or treat where these kids get to come and you're dressed up, you know, as a Halloween and doing that kind of stuff and do the brunches. But let's give back to the community. But at the end of the day, it's business, right? So we did have to work on what does this look like? I mean, that's a big deal, you know, the six cars and the compensation. So there was a lot of give and take, but then again, I think I've done business, like I said, with them for many years to where it was put on my shoulders and now it's time to put up or shut up. But I believe that much in our student athletes and in my team that we're going to knock it out of the park and we're going to set the standard. It's not just throwing up a picture on Instagram like, hey, cool, we're glad to do this deal with so-and-so. It's just, it's got to be bigger than that for everyone.
Yeah, I love that this is a bigger, you know, more well thought out campaign. Not to say that some of the other car deals that have happened aren't, sure. But I think the average fan sees it and they see a student athlete driving a car that maybe they can't even afford. And they think, oh, you know, of course, everyone thought car deals is what was going to happen, especially for quarterbacks, that we were going to see these car deals all over the place. And as long as we've been talking about NIL, I feel like working with car dealerships has been the example that's often given out, but to do something at this scale and to have those sort of events planned out and to have that real community tie-in, I think it's going to be interesting to watch this deal unfold because it's not just giving a kid a car and letting him put up an Instagram post. Like,
right.
It's going to be a lot different than that.
Yeah. And like I said, from the beginning, the partnerships that we're wanting to forge for these guys, we want it to take them through to the next level. So Coughlin Cars is amazing. They have 12 locations, 13 brands. This is someone that at the end of the season, and we only ran it as a season deal to protect not only our client, but also the business, because, hey, we know it's going to be a great thing. We know they're going to want to re-sign. But, hey, if you're going to the NFL, it's a big enough company that it makes sense to take that next step. And then also we'll be able to talk to the Fords and the bigger companies to show like, wow, Haskell or CJ did this big car deal already. They know what it takes. We would love to extend them that offer. And then now they have some negotiating power because we've set their market value to take them through to the bigger step.
What are you teaching and talking to the student athletes about as far as how you, perform well in these deals? Like, I listen to influencers outside of student athletes, influencers all the time talk about the way that they bring value to the brands that they work with and sort of the extra mile they go and the extra little things that they do. You know, people see it and they think, oh, you're getting a car to throw up an Instagram post or whatever, but being an influencer is more complicated than that. I've worked with enough of them to know. So what kind of conversations are you having with them about how they make this, you know, valuable for the brand and how they conduct themselves with the brand so that not only they can work with this brand more going forward, but we'll also have that tool set, that skill set to work with other brands.
Yeah. So what's cool is we sit down with all of our guys and just explain what a good partnership looks like. At the end of the day, there needs to be ROI. Okay. These businesses are doing things to give back to the community, but at the end of the day, it's a business transaction. And these kids are now CEOs of their own company that we've created their LLCs. We've done their trademarking. We have general counsel on board, but we explain to them and that's why we created the Cog and Drive series, right? Because then we're going to take videos showing them waking up for practice and all the crazy schedules they have, but making sure we're getting footage. So we have videographers. So it's a lot on us. Like, we don't just sign these six car deals or these other, big deals. And it's like, okay, cool. Well, now figure it out. We've got a whole content creation team and we're sitting there putting in the hours and the editing and doing all that and make sure, they show up on time and juggling their practice schedules and all that. But when it comes to partnerships, it's just like, look, if these are the deliverables that we all agree on, there's no excuse that we don't get this done, right? And let's be creative. And I think the guys are having maybe even more fun than they ever thought they would have, especially, with the Hisense. I sent you, this is a fun, exciting thing. I'm excited to do the Lovesack one too. I think that's going to be, it's just going to be really fun and cheeky. But I think it's just making them understand, you have to give back, but doing it in an organic fashion. And what's nice is they're so appreciative of the opportunity. You see these guys just doing it themselves now, and they're kind of training themselves as a small business when they're going into places. Hey, thanks so much, Town Hall, for the great meal. They do that because it's organic. And if Town Hall sees that you truly enjoy it, that opens up a partnership. And wow, you just did that yourself. Like, pat yourself on the back. That's what gets me juiced up. You know what I mean? And I don't know.
It's what I think so exciting about it too. You know, I've had the opportunity as a blogger for a really long time and somebody who's built up my social over a long time that I've had opportunities and been the person working with brands. And so I've gone in and talked in athletic departments for years about personal branding and what student athletes can do with it. And then I would go talk to NFL rookies okay, now you're in the NFL, the rules are different. Here's all the stuff you can now do with this personal brand that you built up. And so for me too, it's really exciting, these opportunities to give them skills and platforms and businesses that they can take beyond graduation. So that's why when I talked to you, we hit it off right away. And I thought, we're on the same page about this. And I told you, I'm a Florida fan. And so, I'm not going to root for a Miami with you. But I think it's really interesting what you're doing there in the Columbus area and sort of how this has evolved. And in fact, as I was getting ready to interview you, I Googled a few things and I saw how many news articles there have been in the Columbus area about what's happening there. What do you think from a competitive sort of recruiting standpoint, how has Ohio State embraced NIL so far and how is that going to play out in terms of, keeping guys, recruiting new, and not just, I hate to say guys and just talk about football, but in general,
of course,
that going to help them get better student athletes and provide a better experience for their student athletes?
Yeah, look, make no bones about it. This is a huge recruiting tool if it's used correctly. We have a very good relationship with, a lot of the coaches, and they're excited too because, for recruiting, you're going up against big SEC teams, et cetera, that have been doing kind of this stuff for years. And, we told the coaches when we sat down with them, look, don't look at this as a negative thing. We said we want to be the extension of who you are off the field. So we want to keep them on schedule. We let them know when they're at practice or on that field, they need to be 110% there. They shouldn't be talking brands. They shouldn't be thinking anything but how can I be the best in the classroom or on the field? But when they get off that field, have fun. Ask the guys, hey, what kind of deals are you working on? What do you got going on? And now you see the coaches, you know, jumping in their truck, like, man, let me check this out, or their car, or, man, you know, we see you got that Donato's deal. Like, let me get a pizza. You know what I mean? And then when it comes with recruits, you know, we got guys, you know, that are coming out of high school that are now, you know, reaching out and stuff like that. And it's just, if it's done correctly with purpose, we want to be the best in the United States in showing, you know, laying the blueprint of how we believe it should go. And we believe we're doing that. And yes, we're very fortunate. We have OSU in our backyard, who's always going to have top recruits, but this is going to help for all the right reasons.
So I don't want to leave female student athletes out of the conversation. And I know you haven't made any announcements around this, but talk to me more in general about the opportunities you think are available for female student athletes, not just at Ohio State, but in general.
Yeah, of course. You know, we're excited. We got to speak to the women's basketball coaches, and they had a little bit of a break before school starts. But what I love too is there are a ton of businesses in Columbus. Like, Columbus is actually a really big city. We have some of the most Fortune 500 companies, et cetera. And we have like businesses that love to take the road less traveled. And I was talking to the owner of Town Hall, Bobby George. And you know what I loved is he wanted to sit down to talk about NIL. And you know what he said to me? He goes, football guys are great, basketball guy. He goes, I want women's sports. I want female basketball players and or gymnasts, you know, we were talking about. And he's just like, because, you know, we want to shed light on, you know, how hard they work too, and what such a brand they're building. And I think, you know, it's a shame that, you know, I feel like, you know, women have to kind of climb this mountain when it comes to sports. So for us to wave that flag and figure out how to kick down that door and to get deals that make sense or partnerships, it's just exciting. Obviously, it's just a little slower because boom, football season hit. I mean, July 1st, right, this was announced, and then boom, it was like football. So there's been so much focus, hyper-focus. Right. But yeah, I believe there's a space there, and there needs to be a space, and hopefully we can forge that path as well, you know, just figure it out.
How do you think the sort of the NIL marketplace evolves from here? I actually got asked this question on a podcast earlier today, and I talked about kind of what I think it looks like year one versus then year two, year three. You know, obviously we've got this patchwork of rules and laws people have to navigate, yeah. Brands have to figure out how to navigate. So I think year one's kind of messy, and that as we get into year two and three, things start to settle out more. But, you know, looking into your crystal ball, what do you think the marketplace looks like?
Yeah, to be totally honest, and I won't speak on specific deals, but I think there needs to be some sort of regulation in some places. I mean, when you got kids signing $1 million deals and they're 18 years old, you know, haven't been able to experience college life and or go through a lot of trials and tribulations of just becoming an adult. And, you know, I think that's going to put a lot of pressure on that kid to feel like, damn, I mean, I've already accepted this cash. Like, I got to show out. I got to prove. And I think mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot of people hopping in the portal to try to go make that happen. I think you're also in turn going to see a lot of people staying for longer in college because now yeah. They're being able to make six figures before, you know, or more before it, you know, they even need to go to the NFL. I think, like you said, you're going to have a lot of people pop up with their form of their NIL companies, which, you know, we welcome. We want, you know, there's enough people to go around or enough, you know, partnerships to be forged. But I think it is messy. And I think year three, four, two, three, I think there will have to be a benchmark, and just hoping to be on the correct side of that bench. So.
Do you think that brands, and this is probably more a question about more, I guess, you know, local or smaller brands, sure. Do you think brands really understand how to utilize student athletes and how to build a campaign or how to get that ROI, or does some of that education right. happen too?
Yeah. And to be totally honest, that's why we kind of have a competitive advantage, because like I said, we've been in business for, 17 years, you know, and NIL management was just a shoot off. Mm-hmm. So we go do this anyway. So when we're approaching, and it's kind of crazy, like some of these huge marketing companies that represent these big brands we're dealing with, we're actually giving them the ideas, and then we're getting a budget for us to shoot the content and do it, because we are very creative people, my partners and I, and we're kind of opening their eyes, because we don't want, and we tell them this, we're not transactional. We don't want deals. We want long-term partnerships, seasoned partnerships. We're not paying. We don't want $250. We don't want $1,000 for one swipe up. Right. We want to have our guys going behind the counter, making that sushi roll that they're naming this and picking out their ingredients and having great content that we want to actually post. Right. So a lot of times I just find myself pulling something out of, you know, my backside. That's like, wow, this is amazing. And it works, but we actually have to execute. And it's, yeah. Look, it's people that are going to be jumping in the NIL game. Like, look, we've brought in a very substantial amount of money since July 1st, but it's not a get rich quick. You have to bust your ass to make sure it's executed, or you will ruin the NIL marketplace yeah. in your given area. You will. And you're going to find people that want to ride coattails, and they're going to ride coattails, and they're going to use a kid as a paycheck. Okay, cool. Man, we got that $25,000. That kid is going to be in season. He's not going to know, oh, this date I have this deliverable or this or that. And what's going to happen is those guys are going to fade away. They're going to take their percentage of this kid's money. That kid's going to be stuck with a breach of contract. And, you know, it's going to be sad. And it won't be any of our guys. I'll put it to you that way. So
I agree. You and I have talked about sort of the people I get pitched NIL related businesses every single day, and there's new ones popping up yeah. every single day. And you can tell that some of them haven't done their research and don't really understand the rules and how this is supposed to work, and that they don't have student athletes eligibility top of mind. And so that's been sort of my own vetting process about who I'm writing yeah. about and who I'm having on the podcast, is making sure it's people who first and foremost have student athletes, interests top of mind, which exactly. unfortunately is not happening everywhere. Okay. I've got an interesting right. one for you here. So I spoke at University of Louisville last week, and I spoke at Xavier earlier today. And what was Amazing. Super interesting was I was talking to sports management students, grad students and undergrad, and there were a few student athletes in each class. But they wanted to know more about the careers I thought were going to be available around NIL, even if you're not a student athlete. And it was a question I got asked before I went to Louisville, so I sort of knew to talk about it. And then after having that experience and talking to Xavier today, I actually put together a slide and I talked about all the different sort of jobs around this new, it's almost like NIL has created its own economy, and all the yeah, different jobs yeah. I thought were around that. And I've had students reaching out to me who are already agents, or they've co-founded a company with a student athlete because they have a particular skill set. They're graphic designers, or they're web designers, or, you know, there's some really talented undergrad and graduate students out there that have figured yeah. out ways to partner with student athletes. And I think that's really cool. Not necessarily something I saw coming with NIL, but I think it's really neat to see it happening. What's your advice if there's a student out there listening who just thinks this all sounds so interesting and wants to figure out, like, where do they fit in the ecosystem? You have any advice for skills they yeah. can learn or things they could look into to get involved in this space and add some value?
Yeah, definitely. I think one, if you're willing to take the leap, invest in yourself. Truly invest in yourself and take that leap, because it's an exciting one, right? And it's very scary as well. But I think my advice is, like, we've been contacted, oh my gosh, the amount of emails, and it's very exciting, you know, and so many of the interns at OSU that want to help out and everything like that. But I will say this, it's very flattering and exciting, but you are dealing with something to jump into your first kind of experience, to be this one or management. Like, I've cut my teeth for 15 years now with some of the biggest, Kendrick Lamar, like some of the biggest artists on such a huge scale, where you learn a lot over that time, right? My only thing is, be like a sponge. If you want to go in and intern, start with helping out with events and just start soaking up the kind of the knowledge. But before you bite off too big of a chew, or, you know, a piece, really understand, like, being responsible for some of these guys that aren't even 18, 19 years old, and having to, you're dealing with their parents, you're dealing with, like, you know, attorneys, and a big sum of money. Just be very smart in knowing what you're not good at and putting the correct team around you, because in life, it's way better to know what you're not good at than to know what you're good at and then place the correct people around you. So I like when people are real to me, right? Like, Zach, this is not going to be the easiest thing, but we know you can do it. So I could be all like rainbows and sunshine, be like, yeah, hey, just jump in and start your own NIL company and go, go, go. But just realize that you're dealing with something that it's either you give 110% or you need to let someone else take the steering wheel.
Yeah.
But
it's exciting, though. I think there are going to be a lot of opportunities. I think, you know, athletic departments are going to start hiring more people who have NIL specific job titles and responsibilities around not just compliance, but education and other things as well, because a lot of athletic departments are really overwhelmed by this, but they want to provide education and resources to assist their student athletes with this. They just weren't really ready for it. They thought the NCAA, I think, was going to handle things a little differently than they did. And so a lot of schools have had to spend time putting together their institutional policies and figuring out compliance software and that sort of thing. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And it's just been really neat to see, too, how many student athletes got involved in business ventures around this and are involved with some of the marketplaces and platforms out there. Really has created sort of its own little economy, and it's been fun to watch. And you sort of even have your own little micro economy happening right there in Columbus with how much you're doing with Ohio State and around Columbus.
And it's kind of been crazy, because now, of course, you are contacted by, you know, you have like the NFL agents, you have the agents that are above and all this stuff. And it's really kind of cool, because we're being able to kind of put a little safety net around these guys and really kind of protect them. And now that they're bringing in some money and they're not only making $2,000 a month and have a $1,500 rent payment, and half of them can't even afford to get groceries. I mean, this is all the realities. You know, I grew up with, like I told you, the Ezekiel, it's the Evan Turners, where, you know, they came and became some of the most highest paid guys. But at the end of the day, they get a flat tire. We were figuring out how we were going to pay for a $115 flat tire, right? But I think it's like you said, it's very exciting. It's going in the correct direction. But with us being able to be kind of that safety net to put them in the best possible position, and they're not starving for cash, because now we have an influx, and we're explaining to them what, you know, holdings companies let's hold 30% back for, you know, taxes and unforeseeable, but hey, you know, here's kind of like an allowance of what are all your bills. Okay, we know it's this much, and you could have this for play money, but anything that they need, like groceries or any of that, now we're doing deals to where they're allotted. We just did a big Clean Eats deal, and they're getting 10 meals a week for three of our top guys for the entire season. Do you know how huge that helps these guys? I mean, one, it keeps them healthy because it's portion controlled. Mm-hmm. Two, we're helping a locally owned business, which we could have done a bigger deal with a not local owned, you know, business. Right. And nothing against national companies, but we like to give back to Columbus local owned. But like I said, I mean, it's just exciting. It really is. And it's a lot of work, but
anything needed to happen. Anything coming up with your company or any of your student athletes you want to tease or tell us a little about? What can we watch out for?
We're getting excited to announce a couple cool deals, and then we're going to take it to a whole nother level in how we'd press conferences are done, esports. I mean, we got a couple cool things up our sleeves that I think will help set the benchmark for actually the nation, not just, you know, OSU. So I wish I could. Oh man, I want to with
keep
you
because you just been so. To let us know.
yeah, no, for sure. And I dig your energy and I dig you. That's why like I was excited to hop on here. And I want to just tell you, right? I just want to be like, this. But you know, we got to keep a little mystery there. So
yeah, we'll give people something to come back for. So as we hear about new things, hopefully I'll be able to put them on the Business of College Sports website, and I'll come back and even update the show notes. So if people listen to this later on and those things have already been announced, we'll get the links in there for it. But thank you for sharing a little more about what you've got going on there in Columbus. And I'll put in the show notes too the piece I've already written about the car deals, and hopefully we'll be able to share more with people. But thanks for joining us and chatting about this.
Yeah, thank you. You're amazing. And I know you'll continue to grow and grow. And I just hope we're a part of that. And it'll be a great working relationship. But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you once again to Zach for joining the Business at College Sports podcast. I think it was really interesting to learn about what's going on up in Columbus and how student athletes at Ohio State are approaching name, image, and likeness, and how the community and the businesses there are getting involved. If you've got something else you want to know about NIL or about any other topic around the Business of College Sports, shoot me an email, christy@christydosh.com. Send me a direct message on Twitter or Instagram. I love hearing from you all. I love the suggestions. I want to bring you more of what you want. So feel free to reach out if you've got any ideas. Thank you for joining me once again this week. I hope you're having a wonderful week, and I will be back with you again next week.